This is the second in a five-part series called Seeking Protection, Wanting Justice, that explores the community dynamics around sexual assault in Nome. Other segments deal with law enforcement and prosecution, but this part focuses on survivors' experiences. Brenda Kipkinya-Ivak is a 30-year-old Nome resident, justice advocate, and survivor of childhood sexual abuse. At 15, Ivak felt angry and confused without knowing why. Later, she realized it was a trauma response to the abuse within her own circle of friends and family. Trauma responses are behaviors like self-medication or self-harm that professionals say can occur after a traumatic event like rape. As a teenager, she says her and her friends began experimenting with alcohol. They turned to older community members in Nome to buy it. Sometimes, older male suppliers would drink with them. That's what happened one summer night before Ivak woke up at the Norton Sound Regional Hospital.
The nurse said I was sexually assaulted. They told me what the police told them, and the police told them they found me without my pants on.
Nome police say they are redoubling efforts to increase prosecutions of sexual assaults in an effort to rebuild trust. The region's sole prosecutor says the way Alaska defines consent makes many sexual assaults hard to prosecute. Reporter Jenna Kunz interviewed 8 survivors, including Ivak. Many grew up hearing stories about local police, who are always white, always from out of town, who harassed Alaska Natives. They recalled stories of police slamming their heads into cop car doors or stripping their clothes off of them in winter and sending them home on foot.
If you know enough people who experience those things, and you see these patterns, and you grow up seeing them and internalizing them. And a lot of what you observe with sexual abuse is nothing really gets done about it. And if something gets done about it, it's not full justice, or not justice at all, or experiences with people who are supposed to help you that make it worse. I think that's why a lot of people find it difficult to talk about these things. That was kind of the atmosphere growing up.
Ivak's assailant was never charged. She doesn't know whether police even looked for him. The only legal action that took place that night was against her. Nome police issued her a citation for being a minor consuming alcohol, to which she pleaded guilty. Nome police won't release Ivak's case file, but the minor consuming ticket she got in 2005 remains on her record. When sexual assault cases involving alcohol go unprosecuted, it leaves survivors to grapple with the trauma, feelings of guilt, and the injustice that follows. Keely Olson is director of Standing Together Against Rape, or STAR, in Anchorage.
You know, a lot of folks will talk about how, you know, it was their fault because they were drinking. And It's a very common response for us at STAR to say, you know, the natural consequence of drinking too much is to be hungover, not rape.
Another Nome woman, 25-year-old Andrea Chiunek-Irigu, says she also saw the justice system work against her. It was April 2019, the days were getting long again, and Irigu had a new job and a new studio apartment downtown. Irigu decided she would head down to Front Street and poke her head into the bars to find friends or even family who might be in town. At one bar, she was approached by a man she recognized as a family acquaintance.
I mean, as a kid, he would always, like, pick my mom up and my mom would talk to him.
He offered her a few drinks and she accepted, she said. That was the last thing she remembers. When she came to, she recognized her apartment, but she was naked and the man from earlier was naked on top of her. Irigu asked him to leave, but he refused.
I was trying to hand him his clothes, and then he started to get rough, and I was trying to push him away, then he punched me.
Irigu fought back, but he got on top of her and strangled her until she lost consciousness.
Then it goes black, and then the officer broke the door.
Irigu says her landlord and next-door neighbor called the police when she heard screaming. EMTs took Irigu to the hospital for a forensic exam and rape kit swab. The police report from that night includes notes about a golf ball-sized bruise on Irigu's cheekbone and red and raw patchy skin on her neck. The man was charged with assault in the third, but the charges were dismissed by Nome District Attorney John Earthman a year later. Earthman declined to speak with the media about the specifics of why he chose not to charge the case.
I definitely made the decision not to charge that case. And I definitely talked to her about the reasons for that. But I did have to give her news, and I'm sure it's not good news. It's bad news.
The DA spoke with Irugu multiple times about the lack of evidence in her case, but she still feels the justice system left her cold. Irugu is a teacher, musician, and traditional Yupik grass weaver. But as a survivor of childhood sexual assault, she also struggles with depression and feelings of helplessness from time to time. She attempted suicide once in middle school and again last spring after the charges against the man who recently assaulted her were dropped.
I went through a phase of, what do I have to do to get the court to see that he is not a good person and he deserves to be in jail? Do I need to slaughter my wrists in front of the courthouse and say, you did this to me with my blood on there? Those were my thoughts. I guess just to persecute him, I had to actually be dead, not here talking about it.
According to a survey done by the Urban Indian Health Institute in 2020, the risk of rape or sexual assault is 2.5 times higher for Native women than the rest of the United States. Irugu wants to let other survivors know that they are not alone. And for women like Evac, justice is a matter of known police being accountable and working towards healing by acknowledging their past.
The issue today is that nowadays people are saying that they weren't directly involved with creating these systems. But the problem is not whether they were directly involved or not. It's the fact that these systems are still operating in unjust ways. They still exist today. It happened then and it happened now. It's not just happening on its own. It's happening for a reason, and we need to figure out how to fix it instead of worrying about whose fault it was.
Thank you to the survivors that shared their stories with us for Seeking Protection, Wanting Justice, Part 2. Stay tuned to KNOM next week for Part 3, which takes a closer look into how the justice system in Nome operates today when it handles sexual assault cases. Reporting in Nome with help from Jenna Kunz and Emily Hofstetter, I'm Alice Kaniklin.